Valley Civic Media app. 105.5 WIRI, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids. Your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy sky tonight, patchy fog and lows in the upper 40s. Sunshine continues for tomorrow and beautiful. Highs in the mid-70s. And more sun in mid-70s again Friday. The dry and mild weather is expected to continue through the weekend into early next week. Currently, it's 66.
Mama Rita, don't you know I've come a long, long way? I've been longing to see her. When she's around, she takes my blues away. The sunlight surely hurts my eyes. I'm a lonely dreamer on a highway in the sky. Maria, love you, girl. Oh, my Maria. Maria, love you, girl. Maria, I love you. Just my thoughts about you bring back my peace of mind. Gypsy lady, you're a miracle work for me. You set my soul free like a ship sailing on the sea. She is the sunlight when the skies are gray.
Wisconsin, welcome to Playmakers. How y'all doing out there? Hope you're having a great Wednesday night. James behind the mic. Thanks so much for joining me. We're here for Playmakers, your live sports call-in show. We are wide open. Hit us in the numbers, 715-424-2600. Looking forward to talking some sport with all of you great people out there. We want to talk football. I'll be honest with you. I want to talk football. We'll talk whatever you want. Any level of football, and any sport, really. Got a lot of good things going on with the baseball playoffs right now. Your Milwaukee Brewers are hard at it. Want to get into that. Certainly want to make some time for a pro game as well as the NFL game. And I got the Heisman watch here I want to look at. All of those things coming up. Bunch of other interesting news that has been coming up over the last couple of last 24 hours. One of the big notes that was came out, if you hadn't seen, the Packers starting right tackle Zach Tom has an oblique issue. He is not expected to play Sunday versus the Cowboys. So interesting development there with an offensive line that was already a little banged up. We'll get into that when we get a chance, and I want to talk about our local schedule here as well. Get into some of that. Got plenty to get into, but want to begin with the college game. And for the rankings that just came out, Ohio State at the top of the order, Miami at number 2, Penn State at number 3, LSU at number 4, Georgia at number 5, Oregon at number 6, at number 7, the Oklahoma Sooners. And that just leads me to bring in Michael Comer, our sports director around here. Perfectly timed.
I do what I can.
We appreciate you being here, man. So I was asking Michael about this a little bit, you know, in the last couple of weeks with this team. We get the news that, Matt Ayer's going to be out for a couple of months. Looks like with the broken hand and the surgery that happened there. I thought Jackson Arnold did a nice job in there. I think you really have an interesting situation there where you have a guy that comes in and knows the offense almost better, even though I wouldn't say he's a better quarterback. But it's almost kind of like truly next man up sort of situation. The way that the Sooners are relevant this year and the Miami Hurricanes are relevant this year, there is something so nostalgic for me about that.
Oh, yeah, the 80s, man.
A little bit, a little bit. Even some of those 90s teams and everything for both of those squads. It's kind of cool, I think. And I do think that college football, I don't think it needs this. It can be just fine without the Alabamas or Georgias being good. But I think whether we like to admit it or not, it's a lot more enjoyable and a lot more fun when these kind of teams, these big, big-time universities are relevant.
Yes.
And Oklahoma is relevant. And I say this about Miami, too, and I almost have a hard time dissecting the two right now. Deciding who's played anybody good is very difficult 3 weeks in. It's a madman's game. You're welcome to it if you want, but I got enough things to drive me crazy. I'm not worried about who's played who and who's a good team right now, or who is better than who so much as who's a complete team, who can I see making the long run at this, and who just hasn't had a good run or a bad run on maybe the Notre Dame side, because do not get it twisted. Notre Dame with 3-4 losses will find their way into the college football playoff.
Unfortunately, yes.
As horrifying as that is to me, and as much as I hate to admit it, we all know how this game works.
Yep.
And if Notre Dame isn't even bowl eligible, they may get into the college football playoff. I don't know. The fact that you can throw FSU in there too, with the way they've rebounded a little bit and everything, it speaks to a lot of things in college football. But nothing speaks to it better than Texas A&M. Texas Tech. There's so many Texas schools.
Oh, boy.
What Texas Tech is doing right now...
That's pretty impressive.
...is buying football because that's what you have to do if you're Texas Tech. And they get it. They've got one big donor, huge donor, and that man has decided with his earnings, you know what I want to do with my life? I don't need a new sports car. I don't need a new this. I'm going to put my money into Texas Tech football. And all you other donors that got a couple of bucks, here you go ahead and throw it in the pot. And look what happens a year.
Yep.
A year later, what is able to happen with that school and everything. I would say to Badger fans out there, that is something to keep in mind. I would say if you're like me and a Northern Illinois fan, it doesn't matter. This doesn't matter, back schools, doesn't matter. But with Oklahoma being relevant, what is that? How's that feeling? What is that like for you as a Sooner?
They've always been relevant. They've never really stopped. They might have some bad years, but they've always been relevant.
Fair point, man. Fair point, yeah.
I mean, Oklahoma invented winning. Oklahoma invented winning championships.
When it comes,
ask Barry Switzer.
When it comes to the Big 25 and some of these things that we pay attention to and stuff, I love that. I love that. Great response. Perfect answer. But it's got to be exciting to have not only
it is.
A good quarterback who is going to be back this season, but some other. It isn't as if he's the only player. This Isaiah, the receiver they got, my second favorite wide receiver in college football right now. I always mess up his name, but Santangenia, or the third. I've been calling him the third or whatever I can, because I love this kid.
Yeah, I'm spacing on the last name, but yeah.
He's 5'10", 182 pounds, an all-warrior. Yep. He had a catch in that Auburn game that NFL receivers would have dropped if their name wasn't Anquan Boldin. Like, he takes the hits, man. I love receivers like this that will do what it takes.
We'll see what Oklahoma's made of and how deep their roster is with the Mateer being gone. Unfortunately, I mean that you can't lie. A quarterback his caliber, it hurts. It's going to hurt. I mean, they got that ugly team in burnt orange, which I'm staring at some of that right now. But they got
that's nothing to do with them.
Well, it's out. What's on it is outdated and scary. I'm trying to figure out. It's Halloween, right?
So actually, you would think it is a little Texas-like. It is a little Texas-like. Yeah.
But they got that big ugly burnt orange team from the south of the Red River. They got them coming up, and they're not bad. I mean, they're living on a Manning. I mean, what do you expect? Part of what you said, jumping to that Texas Tech, is one of the reasons why I'm having a hard time just getting into football. And it's not the Texas Tech. I've always liked Texas Tech. It's the it's all the money in it now. I'm not saying that there wasn't money before, but it's, oh, well, let's buy our teams. I'm still very much not a fan of that. To me, it just takes away from what, when I was in that position, what college was.
I, in a perfect world, 100% agree with you. But I grew up with Eric Dickerson getting an oil rig offered to him.
Look at Bosworth in a sports cars.
I don't know. Maybe it's because of the growing up on the other side of the tracks. I don't know what it is. But I've never looked at college football as pure. Or innocent, or something that it's a business. It's always been a business, and it's always the money is just the thing that I appreciate about it now is that it's up front. That most of it is it's out in the open a little bit at least.
Yeah, and I do appreciate that. I do.
I think that you know, when it comes down to it, I don't like it. I would much rather that this wasn't in it or anything. But I love this game too much to let money or let this greed kind of pull me away from it.
Yeah.
I can't help but get into it. Now, I love it so much.
One of the things I do think that's cool about
that could have a shelf life though. I'm sorry. Right. I want to say. I'm not saying that that's canon. That could have a shelf life. Give me a year or two, and I might be on the same page as you are.
What's cool about it, though, is you can go from these teams that are cellar dwellers, and all of a sudden you get a couple bucks behind them, and next thing you know, oh, boy, now they're competing. But was it the homegrown? We can get into that about homegrown talent and not homegrown. You get what I'm saying, the free agency. And we can talk about that a whole other time.
So there are schools that have spent money that are not producing.
Mm-hmm. Wisconsin.
And so I do think that you still have to put a team together. You do still have to recruit. You still 20 some of those young men. You're not necessarily buying. You still got to build a team. And anybody that knows any single thing about football knows that you cannot win on one player, a la Texas and Archie Manning. You need a complete team.
Yes.
So to me, that Indiana is doing what they're doing. That Texas.
That's impressive. Texas I thought they were going to be way down.
It's no different impressive to me than if it was happening in 1999. I don't see it any differently. I get where we are. I understand that. I am reading articles almost every week about the NIL and the troubles with it and everything. And it's muddy. It's ugly. And the thing that nobody wants to talk about is the ones that the ones that get hurt the most in this are the kids, not the universities.
Yep.
Guess what? The university is going to be okay. You're not going to. The university is not going to fall apart because a 4-star said no to them. These kids are the ones that get caught up in the muck and everything. You know, there's a couple of people singing the praises of Bruce Pearl lately. I'd like you to go back and look at Bruce Pearl at Illinois. And look at what a true scumbag is. Look at what a true narc is. What a true rat is. Because that's what that guy has been his whole dang life. When it comes to these kids, I think they've got more control now. Now the part of the problem is we're talking about 17 and 18 year old men, and I know me at 17 or 18 was not the greatest decision maker. And we have some of that. You need adults in the room to act like adults and do their job. They need to have some structure here. They've done part of this maybe with getting rid of one of the portals, and now they've just got the one. Maybe that'll help things a little bit. Maybe you have a little bit more of NFL players talking to these kids, and somebody that they're going to listen to. Not just some AD, but some player or something like that. Hey, young man, I did this, this, and this. Don't do this, this, and this.
And that's one thing I will say.
Responsibility for this instead of just pointing our finger and saying, I don't like it. It's all the kids' fault. It's all money's fault. It's so easy to do that.
Let's
figure this out.
That like Michael Irvin, He has done that at Miami. He's gone back and don't do what I did. No. And it makes you wonder.
He really has. Yeah.
It makes you wonder about that one incident a few years ago down in Dallas. I think Dez Bryant. I think Dez Bryant was involved with that coming out of OK State and how he spent time down in Dallas and talking to receivers or whatever it was. I forget what it was. But anyways, that's we're getting off the point there.
Well, I know what you're saying, though. I know where you're going with it.
Looking at Oklahoma's schedule, I mean, the fourth, I mean, they got this week off, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then they got, that's 1 week. All right. Then they got Kent State, so there's 2 weeks. Then after that, you got on the 11th, that ugly burnt orange team. The week after that, you go to South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're home against Ole Miss. Then you go right back on the road to Tennessee. Then you go to Alabama. And then you're home against Mizzou and LSU. That's okay. I think without Mateer, that ugly burnt orange team game down in Dallas, which is not a neutral site, that's a more even-keeled game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anytime you're going up against one of the Mannings, what do you expect? That's going to be a tough one.
We don't know what we're
going
to get with that kid, yeah.
And we don't know what we're going to get out of South Carolina. They're sitting there 2-2. So you're looking at a big game, maybe one loss, maybe undefeated when Ole Miss comes to town.
That quarterback for South Carolina, man, he is fun to watch.
Right.
That kid is great.
Well, and last year you would have thought Oklahoma and South Carolina would have been better, but South Carolina went to Norman, beat them like 42-0.
Yeah.
So
Miami has a similar situation with some of their schedule. They got FSU coming up, and they've got FSU has Virginia first. I think Miami's in a bye, and then it's the FSU-Miami game. And that game is huge, in part because Miami doesn't really play anybody after that. They need to win that win.
That's the beauty of the ACC.
There. Yeah. And so all these teams, my overall point to me, I feel like, at least where I'm trying to go with this, is I know that Ohio State is kind of the reigning champion, and they are at the number one spot. But I don't think that it's far-fetched to say any one of these teams we've mentioned are holding up that trophy at the end, and I think that makes for an exciting playoff when you have this wide open of a field. And I understand that he has a championship, just like I understand Siani has a championship and everything. I still don't trust them. I still don't think they're good coaches.
No, Ryan Day you're talking.
Ryan Day, yeah. They're no different to me, both of them. Like I understand they have championships. Well done. Great job. I give it to the players, not you. I don't know what you have done to show me that you're a good coach at this. So I still feel like they have those X factors of, well, Ryan Day is going to Ryan Day, or something like that. And something like along those lines could happen. We also haven't seen a dominant Ohio State team yet, and it's very early.
You could say what they did to Texas. Maybe you could argue that point. But we'll see
we
in another
Texas
week or two.
Yeah. Now we know what Texas is. It doesn't look as dominating.
Yep.
It doesn't look that. It looks like you beat up an inferior opponent. Congratulations.
In another week or two, we'll see what they do with Penn State.
Yes, that should be a good one, although I don't know what to make of Penn State either.
Yeah, I don't know either, man.
Football.
I don't know.
I love not knowing. I don't want to know. I want to find out through the playoffs. I think that's exciting. And I'm glad that the playoffs are going to stay the way they are, at least for now. Let me see it. 4:18 on September 24th, because that could change within minutes the way that they do these things. But the committee just met in the future of the college football playoff format is undecided right now, but that is them telling you that they're probably going to stay with this for another year after this.
Another 2 years, I'd say.
I think it's
kind of like a WIA situation where they're going to give it 2 years and reevaluate.
I really would like to see it stay at the current format that it is.
It's not going to.
No. But I think that I'm going to enjoy these next 2 years. I think what you were saying about the NIL and some of the money in there, that's what does that to me, is with the more teams they add to it, the more teams they have added to March Madness, the more it is like lost its luster to me. I will still watch it. I still love it. I eat and breathe it during March. I am not going to lie.
We're red-blooded Americans, of course.
Exactly. But I don't get into it like I used to. It's just there's too many teams, and I don't like that. I do like a good amount of teams. Sure. We had that already. And right now in college football, I think you got the equivalent of that in 12 teams. I don't know why you would go farther other than for money, which is not what this is supposed to be about, even though it is.
Well, and that comes back to one thing of
so
my...
So disheartening.
Right. A conversation I used to have with my grandpa. And some of it I thought was just old age asking for the good old days. But being around this more and the requests of what my job demands mm-hmm. of keeping an eye on all this, I see it a little different now. And that's perspectives change in life. And that was that there's too many teams in the NFL. There's too many. There's too many in majors, and there's too many in the NFL. And I was like, okay, Grandpa, yeah, I get it. Back in your day, there's four. I mean, come on, you know, give me a break. But his wasn't a solution. His was, well, you get rid of Green Bay first, and because he was a Bears fan. And I said, yep.
I like him already.
Yep. We'll leave it at that. But the rivalry aside.
The NFL doesn't survive without both teams.
Exactly. Now I understand it a little more.
I get it.
And something that Coach Paul, that the parts of the conversation we can talk about on the radio, mm-hmm. is as good as the USPHL is, and I'd like to see some of the best of the USPHL, River Kings included, go up against some of the best of the NA3L.
Yeah, I agree.
And some of these other Tier 3 junior teams.
I'll take that.
And you take some of those best against some of the best, I would almost bet you that the USPHL will come out on top. Mm-hmm. Not every time, but a lot of the time. Now, with as many teams as being added to the USPHL, which for our hockey friends out there, take a look. There's a whole Canadian division now, and everything that goes with it. We've seen it in the Northwoods League, and no disrespect to the Rafters or any of our friends there. You keep adding teams, you're watering down the pool.
Yeah.
And how good is a really good team now?
I think the biggest, I've been saying this since I was a teenager, the biggest problem with baseball is too many teams. There's too many teams.
But
and they'll never detract. They'll never get rid of that.
Oh, God, no.
But
there's too much money to be made off a team.
But if you really want it, one of the biggest things you could do to help baseball is getting rid of two teams. That's it. Two teams.
But now they want to add two.
All those players would go to other teams, which would bring up batting averages and home runs and pitching stats and all this and everything. There's just not enough talent out there in mm-hmm. baseball. They don't have that. I don't know in other sports if you can make that argument. I think basketball, you can. I think you could say the same thing in many ways. Hockey, I don't know if that's the case. Hockey, you may not have enough teams in hockey, but we're talking the world with hockey.
Yeah.
With football, I think you're right. I think you're
right about there.
I think you're okay there, where we are with teams in football. I think we're good. But I still worry sometimes, especially when you look at the starting quarterbacks throughout the NFL. And you're like, well, wait a minute. We don't even have 30 of these guys.
Yeah, well, the problem is now with so many people getting hurt, you have to go back on that. So it's like, yeah, I no disrespect to our Vikings fans out there, but I think the Vikings and Bengals, when they're both healthy, I think the Bengals win that game. But that's part of that of you have Carson Wentz out there. When was the last time he really played any meaningful games? And he had Minnesota's back up there.
Yeah.
I mean, not bad. He's not a bad quarterback, but neither one of them are bad.
Browning, yep. Was taking the Cincy side, Wentz on the Minnesota side. It was a weird look for both of them in many different ways. But I do think that, it's hard to disagree with you. I will say that Minnesota's one of those teams that I could have, as I have found out, literally, you can have a two-score lead and you can't count them out.
Right.
And you can go ahead and point to, well, the Bears are this, the Bears are that. It isn't just the Bears they've done this to. They look at last season, look at this Connell. Yep. Connell may look like a just straight-up guy, nothing special about him or anything like that, just normal-looking man. That is a monster. That guy is a monster.
He can motivate.
He is a monster. If you underestimate him, he will make you pay. That I don't care how good you think your team is. If you're going up against Minnesota, you have to be willing to go all the way to defeat that team. Otherwise, because how does Minnesota lose? They do it to themselves.
A lot of times.
Interceptions, fumbles, quarterback play not being good. That's what we've seen, whether it was last year with Sam Darnold or it's this year with JJ. It's not that team. That team doesn't beat it. That team beats itself. They don't get beat. Minnesota's, and I'm not a Minnesota fan. I couldn't be the furthest thing from it.
Right.
But that is not a team I take lightly.
And the same could be said about those same things are the same thing that I've said about a team wearing green and yellow too.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, I 100% agree with
you. I don't think they're that. Last year, we're speaking last year, right?
Yeah.
I didn't think they were that. I think they're every bit as good as Minnesota, Detroit, and Philly.
100%.
They just those miscues.
Agree with
which,
you.
Unfortunately, how much has the team grown? Because we obviously didn't talk on Monday, and we didn't have a chance to talk about it. How much has the team grown? Quite a bit. I think they're a lot better than they were last year. But there's still some of those instances where that behavior that was last year has reared its ugly head again, and that would be everybody gets, I don't know how many people on the old Facebook machine and whatever were losing their minds. Oh, well, we need this Jordan Love experiment's done. You got to put Malik Heath in. And I just said, well, that guy right there, that guy's a fool. I can't believe I'm friends with that fool.
Yeah.
And what I say.
What are you talking about?
Well, right. And I said, okay, when is there ever a good, legit question. Mm-hmm. When is there ever a good time to throw an interception? There isn't. Correct. That the look on your face said it all.
Yes.
There's never
a
good time.
This is an audio medium. I should have said something. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's never a good time.
You're right,
so, of course, that interception wasn't good time. No, it wasn't. But you, that's the whole thing. They want to pile on Jordan Love. Well, how about this? How about 14 penalties with 7 being in the fourth quarter? Okay, there's another one. Parsons lining up offsides on that last little bit. Who's to know what happens on that particular play? I mean, now I'm kind of nitpicking on particular plays, but all these little things add up. Golden, I don't know why he ran out of bounds when he's wide open, because, I mean, he had a good enough angle that unless his momentum was carrying him so fast that he was going to spin out or something on that to straighten out, but no one was going to catch him.
Yeah,
and that game's put away. There's so many extra things that you could talk about that game that when I was on the air with you, I said that game was probably a trap game. Mm-hmm. Green Bay needed to be careful.
Yep.
And well, that's exactly what I texted you after the game.
Yep.
That game was a trap game. I don't know if they were looking ahead, but that defense of Cleveland, people can say what they want about the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, yeah.
That defense is legit.
If you had – this was a pitcher's duel in baseball that ended 1-0.
Yeah, the game saw. 7 you of the 68 best, World Series right there.
You had the two best players in defense basically going head-to-head against the other team's quarterback and stuff, and this is how it played out.
Right.
Along with that, all the miscues you just talked about that are the difference between winning and losing.
Yep. The margin for error is so small.
Tell me your privilege. Without telling me your privilege by saying that you think you could do better than Jordan Love right now and bench him? Like, I understand what it's like to be a Green Bay Packer fan and having almost, 30-some years
of, going on 40 potentially,
legendary quarterback play of between Favre and Rodgers.
Right.
If you don't think that you've got a real one in Jordan Love, you are telling me how privileged and how blind you have got. I'm going to say this real quick, man. I've said it before. I don't know if I trust Packer fans' opinions of quarterbacks. I don't know if you're a young Packer fan, I don't know if you can give me, I'm joking, of course.
Right, of course.
But I don't know if you guys really understand what a bad quarterback is anymore.
I don't know.
You've got Jordan Love, who, I said this on Monday, what if Jordan Love is just a top 10 quarterback? What if he's just great? Maybe he's not a legend. Oh, darn. Shucks. You poor things, you. They won a Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer, for God's sake. You're telling me that good or great you can't win with Micah Parsons on the other side?
Yeah.
Like, tell me you are a privileged football fan without telling me you are. And there is not one fan base that can act like that more or less, I mean, than the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, yeah.
That fan base, you don't have an opportunity to
You're
do
spoiled.
That.
I've said that too. It's when I've been to games on seasons that are virtually over.
I don't mind that. That's smart management. That's good scouting and all these things. But you can't be sitting there saying that Jordan Love isn't the answer when, for one, why don't you point to the play caller? Why don't you call to talk to the guy that is actually making the decisions? Jordan Love is not making any decisions. Jordan Love is a soldier. He goes out there and does what he's told.
Right.
Jordan Love doesn't call a ton of audibles. Jordan Love doesn't go out there and do things on the cuff or anything. He's not any half of these quarterbacks in the league. You've actually got a quarterback that is almost literally tied to the quarterback, to the coach.
Yep.
If you have something you don't like about Jordan Love, you really don't like Matt LaFleur.
Right.
They're inner. You cannot take them apart.
Well, and that brings up a couple other points that I will go out and say it right now, that Daniel Whalen, he is special teams player of the year, that
He's
punter
good.
For Green Bay. He flips a field every time. The other thing, too, another area where I would say special teams, and not necessarily in the coverage, because everything's been pretty good there. How that left side of the line got blown up so bad on the McManus kick. That's one area. And then the second area is coming back to Matt LaFleur. The penalties is discipline. And I didn't listen to the post-game coverage because I had other things I had to do.
Mm-hmm.
But How often do you say we got to watch tape? It starts with me. All right. Well, if it does, why does this keep happening here? Yeah. Now you can only do so much as a coach. Those athletes are being paid big dollars to go out there and do a job. And some guys have bad days. But you're putting Zach Tom out there, who tore his oblique the week before, and you game planning for him to be able to do that. He makes it one play and he's out. I understand him wanting to play and be a competitor. You all are out there.
Mm-hmm.
But why? How is? I'm just a guy sitting in Wisconsin Rapids drinking a beer watching the game. That's not a good idea.
No.
So it's some of those decisions that are being made. Who are you running these past to be double checking that these are good ideas here, coach? Because I can tell you that oblique, everybody knows it's on the side, and when you pull one of those, it hurts like heck.
Yeah.
I can't imagine tearing it. So what makes you think this is such a good idea to have a 350-pound man, 6'5", out there, physical, offensive lineman, who thinks this is a good idea? Why you got to be a man enough coach, and that's probably the wrong terms, but a man enough coach to say, buddy, you're not playing, you got to rest up because you're no good to us and you're no good to yourself, hurt, so you're sitting a game or two to get better.
Yeah, football is man-on-man violence as far as the right? NFL, so I have no problem with that statement, and I agree with you. You have to man up in that situation and be the guy that is paid the big... You have the big chair for a reason.
Yep.
You get the big piece of chicken for a reason.
Yep.
You got to make these calls. You got to do these things. I, on the tiniest of levels, had to learn this directing. I'm not good at it. I don't like being the bad guy. I'm not usually, like, I have that side of me, but that side of me, I've kept dormant for a very, very long time. I don't like going that route. I wasn't good with it with my kids either. Like, obviously, I'm going to stop my kid from doing something too dangerous. But overall, I'm a bit of a rebel and knucklehead myself. So, of course, if my kids acted that way, I was a little bit like, oh, darn it. You learn that, oh, wait a minute. I'm here to do something. I have to stop these actors when they're messing up.
Right.
I have to correct them on different things. Actually, if I don't do it, I'm not only not doing my job, I ain't doing right by them. They need me to do this.
Yep.
And then it finally took my actors telling me, please direct me, to finally get me to be like, oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry, and all that.
You give them perspective. It doesn't matter.
If you are a man in that locker room, you want Matt LaFleur to have you accountable. You want if you want to win, do you want a paycheck or do you want to win? Because if you want to win, you want him to hold you accountable. And if Matt LaFleur wants to win, he has to hold them accountable. It's not
he has to hold himself accountable.
It's not about being the best-looking coach in football. It's not about your commercials. It's not about those things.
Yep.
It's about you going out there and being a man and doing the dang job that you were hired for. And sit the man down. I'm sorry, Zach Tom.
Yep.
I'm sorry, so-and-so. You are not healthy enough to play. You hurt this
Aaron
team.
Aaron Banks.
Sell it. You're a coach. You're supposed to be a snake oil salesman as well. You are the one that can be like, even when your team is undefeated and you're Bill Belichick and all that, the whole world's against us, everybody hates us, and you're able to get that locker room to believe you that everybody hates you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the coach's job. So get that player, whether it's Zach Tom or anybody else, to be like, you know what, you actually hurt the team more being out there. I'm sorry. So do you want best for the team, or is it about you?
Right.
Well, no football player is going to probably say it's about them, so he'll sit down.
Right.
This isn't, if I can figure this out, you darn sure better be able to if you're Matt LaFleur.
And here's the other thing, too, is everybody's kind of losing their minds now. The talk has gone away about, a lot of the talk has gone away on the talking head networks about the Packers, and that's probably a good thing. But here's the other thing that I will say with it is, I just got done ragging on the Packers, and now I'm going to remind everybody this, be that before you jump totally off the bridge, you're just hanging on there, and now you can pull yourself back up.
Right.
I remember in 96, there's three really bad losses. You lost by 10 to Minnesota. You lost by a touchdown to Kansas City, who was horrible that year. And then you lost a Monday night to Dallas 21-6 when all you did was give up field goals. There's a lot that you can have bad losses and still win a title. Even look back in 2010. You lost on overtime field goals to the Dolphins and the Redskins. You lost a Sunday night debacle to New England. The Dan Connolly loaf of bread kick return that there you have it. You win a title and and lose a game.
Every good coach will tell you, you learn more from losses than wins.
Yes.
I genuinely believe that the 85 Bears do not win the Super Bowl if they don't lose to Miami on Monday night.
It's possible.
I don't think that happens. I also don't know if I think if Miami doesn't win that game, they may go to the Super Bowl instead of New England in that series. That game was really wild, too, on the other side of things, if you look back at the history and everything.
I'll have to do that.
And that is, all right, so anybody who is taking a drink anytime I mention the 85 Bears, you go ahead.
Back in 1985.
Anytime. You go right ahead, everybody. We will take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and have some more fun here on Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing here at 105.5 WIRI.
What's faster than a speeding bullet and more powerful than a locomotive? Your potential when you partner with WAM Incorporated. WAM Inc. is your source for promotional power. From custom apparel, pens, tumblers, magnets, and beyond, we've got everything needed to win the day. You can also soar onto our new website, whaminc.com. WAM Inc., for the hero in you.
Get ready to go for the green and gold. Listen right here each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize. $200 cash and gold jewelry. Plus, be entered to win our grand prize. Two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest with 105.5 WIRI. Sponsored locally by
Rapids Transmission. At Rapids Transmission, they're known for their excellent transmission work, but they do so much more. Call them today at 715-423-1100 for a free quote on your next repair. That's 715-423-1100.
Experience the music of Willie Nelson with the Willie and Family Live Tribute Show Thursday, October 9th in Wisconsin Rapids.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Michael Moore performs as the Redheaded Stranger live on stage at the Performing Arts Center in Wisconsin Rapids Thursday night, October 9th. Ticket information at SavorTheArts.com. Presented by the Arts Council of Southwood County. Get your entertainment on.
Whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
This is 105.5 WIRI.
In your darkest hour.
To my eyes, I love you. I'm gonna love you.
WIRI on your radio at 105.5 FM and wherever you are with the free Civic Media app. Download it now in the Google Play or App Store.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy sky tonight, patchy fog, and lows in the upper 40s. Sunshine continues for tomorrow and beautiful. Highs in the mid 70s. And more sun in mid-70s again Friday. The dry and mild weather is expected to continue through the weekend into early next week. It's 67 right now.
Welcome back, everyone. Playmakers here on 105.5 WIRI. Hope you all are having a great Wednesday afternoon out there. If I get a chance to play a little Miranda Lambert, even a little, I'm going to go ahead and do it.
Go for it.
Cannot help myself. Wanted to get into...
Because you're waiting all day for Wednesday night?
Yeah, something like that. I've been waiting to get into the our high school schedule with you. We'll do that in a moment, Michael. I just had a couple of stories of the show and stats of the show I wanted to get to real quick. Nebraska football has not beaten a ranked opponent since their 35-32 victory over number 22 Oregon on September 17th, 2016.
Yeah.
Nebraska has not beaten a ranked opponent since 2016.
Are you surprised?
No, but I looked this up the other day. I have this stat saved in my bookmarks. I've read it three times now, and I still can't believe that. Like, again, going back to like these teams like Oklahoma and Miami coming back and bouncing back and all this stuff, like Nebraska. When I was a kid, they just believed they were incredible and everything. And to see where they have gone and that they have fallen and they just cannot get up, it's wild to me.
For Nebraska, there's so many different things that cause that, I do believe.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I think did that was leaving the Big 12.
Big time.
And then their last year, they made it to the Big 12 title game, and they were up big in Oklahoma. Oklahoma came back and beat them.
And
they never answered back.
I don't know, and I don't know that that anything's going to change with that for them. I don't know that things are going to get turned around. Now I will say what I was saying earlier. Like we see Texas Tech, we see some of these other schools. Maybe it
could
happen.
Put some money in there.
But I also kind of feel like if it was going to happen, it would have already. I mean, I don't know that they got what the kind of corn money they got there with Nebraska. I don't know that they didn't got oil money. That's for sure.
No.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens with that school. And I wanted to say kind of a melancholy one, but a good one, really, when it comes down to it. Jean Dolores Schmidt, better known as Sister Jean, is retiring. The news broke a little bit ago.
I knew I was going to hear about that from my mom today. So
just wanted to congratulate her on a great run and thank her for showing up in college basketball and just being a wonderful bright spot to me in college basketball. I will say this as obviously somebody who likes Loyola and teams like that. But I admit my bias. But I think that even if you weren't a fan of that team or small teams
fun.
Or something. It was fun seeing her out
fun
there.
Fun seeing the older lady there. And
she, you need more of that humanity in college sports. That's what made college sports. It's what made it. It's the people. The pop circumstance is great and everything, but it's the people that makes it. And that's a cool story. Speaking of the people, I want to touch on this just a little bit with you, Michael. I do want to get into our high school stuff. So I'm going to give myself a minute or two on this subject, and then we have to move on because I understand that this is a very, very 50-50 conversation. Some people don't mind having it, and some people think it's ridiculous. But I've been looking at the Heisman odds, and I can't help myself. It's 3 weeks into the season. It makes no sense to do this, but I cannot help myself looking at the Heisman odds, and in part because I wanted to see if certain players were going to be talked about. And really, Lenora Sellers in South Carolina, who we were just touching on earlier and everything, I didn't know if other people were seeing what I was seeing with this kid. I don't watch the Sports Center. I don't really watch a lot of those things. So I don't know how much these guys are talked about. Apparently, they are. Apparently, people know who Sellers is. He is edging LSU.
Are they buyers or sellers?
They are buyers, which is odd with sellers, but apparently they are buyers because he is in the number one spot on the Heisman odds right now after LSU's Grant Nussmeyer, Miami's Carson Beck, and Oklahoma's John Mateer. Penn State's Drew Allen, Arizona State's Sam Levitt, and Arch Manning shows up at the end with one vote.
Of course.
All quarterbacks. It's a little disappointing to me, but at the same time, I bring it up in part because I also, if anybody isn't paying attention, there is some incredible quarterback play going on in college football right now, which is really exciting. Mateer is going to be out for a little bit, but he'll be back.
We'll see how much it impacts. But if he comes back, and if Oklahoma stumbles in one or two of those weeks, and he comes back and they run the gauntlet, they run the table, and they make the SEC title game and even win it, then you could probably see him being thrown right back in there. And there's talk in that pregame that I heard a little bit of that Sellers and Mateer were the two top by some people.
Yeah, I heard that too. And in fact, one of the things I'm looking at here has Mateer at number two. Also has Jeremiah Smith from Ohio, the wide receiver from Ohio State up there, rightfully so. The kid in Alabama is also incredibly good too. And Miami's got a Malachi kid who is incredible. They got some really nice wide receivers in football as well. Not as strong of a running back class the last two seasons. That's been disappointing. That's been sad. If we got time, we'll look at the schedule. I want to talk high school sports with you, Michael.
What do you want to know?
We got a great one coming up tomorrow. Spash at Lincoln boys soccer. How's that prep been going for that? How you feeling about calling that one?
I feel comfortable as long as my voice holds out because I've been dealing with a sinus bug for almost 2 weeks now, and it's my throat just feels like a grenade went off in sometimes.
Yeah, I know what that feels like.
But anyways, that's going to be an interesting one. Last night was a big one. Rapids took on DC Everest, top two teams in the Valley. Everest was undefeated. Rapids was undefeated, but with a tie against Wausau East, and they played to a 1-1 draw. So Everest is now technically the number one team, Rapids number two. And if they want to keep pace in the Valley Chase, you got to down your neighbors. And, I mean, the boys soccer, the legends of – all right, so you got football with Rapids and Point, right? There's a couple other sports that rivalry is huge, and that would be hockey and boys soccer right there, and baseball, softball, sure. But those are the big three. Wrestling, you got to be competitive in it for it to be a rivalry, and Point's only beaten Rapids maybe twice since 1960.
Yeah.
So anyways, but I mean, I remember there being back in my day, you know, student sections getting in fights and pushing and shoving and stuff like that, and there being red cards dealt and everything that goes with it. So there, it's going to be a good one. I like to think that the kids will be a little more composed, and we'll see. We'll see with the Rapids how much they exerted themselves against Everest.
I was wondering the same thing.
And how fresh their legs will be.
Yeah.
That's a big thing that I'm looking for there. Points always tough. They're about middle pack of the Valley, but in the Valley, you just never know.
When you get those two schools playing each other, it almost doesn't matter the sport. You're going to have rivalries. You're going to have a lot of fun there. And that's going to be a great one for you to call and for us to have on these airwaves. Tomorrow, Spash at Lincoln Boys Soccer. Mike and Seth tag team in this. Pre-game kicks off at 6:50. And then Friday, not only will we have another edition of Playmakers for you from 4 to 5, but we'll be your tailgate for the Marshfield at Lincoln game.
The battle for Wood County.
Yes, I cannot wait. Love this game every year. You're going to be calling this one with Don. You're a little bit of a throwback for us around here. You got one of the best on the board here running this game with you with Don. So you know it's going to sound good, and Michael brings it every game. What are you looking for in this game? What are you excited about? What is your preview of?
If Rapids can recreate what they did up in Wausau, they've got a chance. I don't know how many, if you're familiar with what all went on up at Tom Field last week, Rapids fell 14-12. They were down 14-0 going into the fourth quarter. Rapids had two drives end within the 5-yard line, had two interceptions pulled out. They were reeling. And they had another one that ended on downs earlier in the third quarter. Well, if I was to tell you that they almost won that game, would you believe me? Well, obviously at the score, yeah. But they had a 31-yard field goal blocked or go wide right in the third quarter, in the first quarter. They could have won that game right there. Mm-hmm. But anyways, they scored their second touchdown with like 13 seconds left. Go for two. Well, then they have a penalty, so they get to redo it. Then West has a penalty, so they get to redo it. And on the third try, there was no penalties. The ball just was dropped. But then they go onside, and they recover it at the 50. And then two plays later, they just couldn't get enough distance down the field and do a Cal Stanford there. You just couldn't do it. But anyways, that was – you have a chance again with Marshfield. Marshfield's 1-4. Rapids 0-5. Rapids is showing a little more life. Marshfield lost, what, I think it was 30-15 to Rice Lake. Rapids lost 30-14 to Rice Lake. There's a few other numbers in there where Marshfield may be a more potent offense. But with it being in Southwood County, you just never know.
It's going to be an exciting game. I know that much. It's going to be exciting. Should be a good one. And especially the way I think we're learning a little bit more and more whether it's wins or losses about this Lincoln team and this. They're starting to build a personality. We're starting to get an idea a little bit more and more every week. And that is almost what this season has to be. Is hey, we're figuring out what kind of team this is going to be going forward with this new coaching staff.
More importantly, with Rapids, is they're starting to show some run game. They outgained West by over 100 yards. So right there, they're throwing the ball. They've been pretty good at that all year. Now they're starting to find ways to run. And with their last four games, because unfortunately I don't think they're making the playoffs, and that goes for just about everybody else in this area.
Yeah.
Assumption, they got to win one more. They got to win one more.
It's so wild to say, but yeah, Assumption may have the best chance. That's awesome.
But
I love high school football.
I know, but not laughing at Assumption, just laughing at the situation that they might be.
Shout out to the Royals.
The credit where it's due.
Absolutely.
But with Rapids, that's where I'm gonna say right there. They've got a chance here. They can beat Marshfield. They can beat Eau Claire Memorial. New Richmond's going to be pretty tough. They can fight with Eau Claire North. They can win these last three. Arguably, they should have won four. They should have beat West.
Any given Friday.
And that goes for another one because this is a week of homecomings. Mm-hmm. Port's got their homecoming against Marion Tigerton. That's going to be a tough test.
Yeah.
Then you go down Nacoosa. The battle for the Gridiron Trophy, that was kind of a flip of the coin between Nacoosa and Adams and Marshfield Rapids.
Yeah.
And Marshfield, they got it. But so next year, or the next time it comes around, I'm going to have to write this on the calendar, probably go the other way.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I like that.
But that Nacoosa might get their first win this week against Adams. Adams has been struggling too. Scores, if you want to go by the scores, which you kind of have to. Mm. Nacoosa's games have been closer.
Very. Yeah.
Way closer than Adams have.
It's been a very exciting high school season. We'll continue to follow it this Friday, 6:50, the Battle of Wood County. Marshfield at Lincoln. Mike and Don covering that one for you. We'll take a quick break, come back, wrap up the show, talk a little bit about the headliners of the 2026 Hall of Fame nominees.
Ooh, get a lot of them.
Get in that coming up.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Step right up. Circus history is alive in Wisconsin.
The circus would come to town and whole cities would shut down. There wouldn't be school. The stores would be closed because everybody would go to the circus.
A big part of the circus, the wagons. And now what's believed to be the last bell wagon anywhere is at Circus World in Baraboo. Commissioned by the Ringlings in 1892, this 10,000-pound rolling musical instrument was the crown jewel of the circus parades.
There's parade wagons. Circus parades would have to get people excited to come see the circus, and so those are the very ornamented ones, lots of carving.
That's Jennifer Kronk. She's the curator of history at Circus World. Three other unique wagons owned by Feld Entertainment in Florida are also on loan for the next couple of years. It's a slice of Wisconsin and circus history right here, where you can relive the glory of the parade and echo of the bells calling you to the big top. I'm Terry Barr.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drug to driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy sky tonight, patchy fog, and lows in the upper 40s. Sunshine continues for tomorrow and beautiful. Highs in the mid-70s. And more sun in mid-70s again Friday. The dry and mild weather is expected to continue through the weekend into early next week. It's 69 degrees right now.
Welcome back, everyone. Playmakers here on 105.5 WIRI, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Hit us in the numbers if you like, 715-424-2600. Call up, join the conversation. We'd love to hang out with you. We're going to take you to the top of the hour. Laura's got some great music coming up for you, everybody. And, of course, she'll have some keywords for you for the Go for the Green or Gold Text to Win multi-state contest we got going on. Be listening for those keywords. And thank you so much to everybody who has played along. Michael, I want to wrap up talking a little pro football with you.
Yeah.
And the it just was announced a couple hours ago. The headliners for the 2026 Hall of Fame nominees. You've got quarterback Drew Brees up there, and
You should be there.
Tied for my favorite wide receiver of all time, Larry Fitzgerald, as your two, I think, big headliners of this class.
They both should be in there.
I believe first balloters, both of them. I don't know what Larry Fitzgerald obviously could have won a championship, sure, but I don't think we put that on receivers like we do other positions.
Right.
And understandably, but I think that outside of that, what more could have Larry Fitzgerald done in his career? Just an ultimate professional.
Ask for a trade to a team that was going to win it. I mean, that's about all he could have done.
Yeah, yeah. And instead, all he did was just be a good player and you know, play for the team that he was drafted by and all that. One team his whole career, similar to Drew Brees. I don't know how often we'll see that anymore. Drew Brees? No, you're right. I'm sorry. Yeah, Drew Brees. That's right.
Drew Brees, that shoulder injury in San Diego.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So it is cool to see at least a player like that. And some of these players, actually, I don't know actually if any of these players played for one team for their whole careers. The other nominees in the first year of eligibility are quarterback Phillip Rivers, who I think is a very good chance of getting in.
Yep.
I think he's a Hall of Famer. I think so too.
I mean, the drama that goes with Phillip Rivers and Eli Manning and Drew Brees all in there.
Yeah,
that'd
be cool. Alex Smith is also in the running. I don't know. Tight end Greg Olsen and Jason Witten. I love Greg Olsen. I admit I like Greg Olsen a lot. So I don't. I'm almost a little too biased on him, but I think he's a Hall of Famer. Frank Gore, just on stats and longevity alone, I would think that maybe a second or third ballot, or I don't know about a first ballot.
With the way he overcame that that knee injury,
man,
that's worthy of it enough, in my opinion. Which means nothing, but
no, I agree though. I'm with you 100%. And I just liked Frank Gore. I liked that was a guy.
Blue collar.
You can count on 3-4 yards out of that guy almost every carry. It's odd if you look at the rushing stats where Frank Gore is up there.
He's actually
in a lot
up
of those.
There.
Yeah. LeSean McCoy, offensive lineman David DeCastro, Marcus Pouncey, defensive lineman Geno Atkins, Jarrell Casey, and linebacker Thomas Davis are all in the running. First year nominees, that is. There is some other returning finalists are Eli Manning, Fred Taylor, Steve Smith Jr., Reggie Wayne, Terrell Suggs, and Darren Woodson, some of the nominees. You mentioned a couple of Green Bay Packers that are up for nomination for the Hall of Fame.
The 128 modern era finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame of Class 2026 has been announced. Former Packers on the list, Donald Driver and Jordy Nelson, Wesley Walls, Jari Evans, Jeff Saturday, and Josh Sitton, A.J. Hawk, Clay Matthews, Nick Collins, and Alan Rossum. Honestly, the only one that I really think deserves to be in there, Jeff Saturday.
Yeah, I think Jeff Saturday.
And don't get me wrong, I know I'm going to catch a lot of flack for it, and that's fine. I got big shoulders. Donald Driver, if it was based up, and we talk about this, James, if it was personality, quality, character, Donald Driver's there.
First ballot.
No question about it.
Yeah.
You don't even have to talk. Just, all right, put him in. Mm-hmm. But Donald Driver, Jordy Nelson, both Packer greats. I need to be a little more convinced about all time.
Yeah, yeah.
Linebackers, same with A.J. Hawk and Clay Matthews III. Now, that's a great story about Bruce and everybody going in, but I'm not sold on Clay.
Yeah, I could see Clay Matthews. I think Clay Matthews, if he gets in, it's a little bit on personality, too, along with player. And I have no problem with that. I think that it'd be fair to say that his stats weren't overwhelming.
No.
He was a great player, and that's good.
Every single one of those guys listed are.
The Hall of Fame is supposed to be for legends. Great is great. Great is awesome. Great can win you championships. Great can get you into the Packer or your team's Hall of Fame. But legends are supposed to be going into the Hall of Fame.
And now are those almost all of those are Packer legends.
Packer legends, yes.
But are they NFL legends? And that's where I pose the question. Now, Jeff Saturday, he's an all-time great center.
And,
he is.
And I think it'd be awfully cool. I believe he would be the first person in the Hall of Fame who went undrafted player in the Hall of Fame, or undrafted offensive lineman, something along those lines.
So there's something with him.
With that, because he was not supposed to be here. Like, he's one of those guys.
Yeah.
It's a very cool story to see where he ended up and how he even got in the position, let alone had the career he did. I would love to see Donald Driver make it. For anything else, that you know would be an amazing speech.
Yep.
He nailed the moment.
He's got $1 million smile.
As a person, you'd like to see it. But, I think on that level, too, there's nothing wrong with highlighting these guys on your team's Hall of Fame and that being enough. It's okay. You know, I think that it's a healthy place to be as a fan of your team to be able to say that about certain players. It's also doesn't win you over with a lot of people.
Right.
I hear you. I run into this with my fan base.
And I mean, I've had people say, well, they should be retiring Jordy or Drivers numbers in the green and gold. And I said, no. Where are they? Granted, it's position difference, but they're not Reggies. They're not Nitschke's. They're not Favre's. They're not Stars. They're not Aaron Rodgers.
Speaking of unpopular phrase, you're losing some people on your side.
I know.
On my side, I have not met Bear fans hate me. They hate me. They do not like me. I am not welcome on that side of things any more than I am on the Green Bay side of things. Nobody wants me, which is pretty, I think as I hear it out loud, it's understandable. I get it. But I will say one of the more unpopular takes, I believe, no numbers should be retired. None. It's silly. It's silly. Well, honor these people better than just a number that they wore. Retire, if you want to retire certain things, retire their locker. Retire something like that.
I mean, Green Bay does. But.
And I think that's cool. I actually think that's a whole other story. That's very cool to me. They're numbers. And part of the cool thing I think about football is seeing guys that wore numbers that did before. I don't know that it's the respect we think it is or these teams think it is. I think it's actually taking something from the game by not Could having be. Those numbers out there and celebrating the past. And so,
Could be.
And you know who else wore that number? Who else wore? I could see both sides of it. This is not a hill I'm willing to die on, but I do think that it's a little silly to retire numbers, especially when you look at some of these teams that have like three numbers left because they retired all of them.
Yeah, the New York Yankees.
Yeah. Great show today, man.
Yep. Thank you, buddy.
Everybody have a great night out there. We'll be back at this on Friday.
Live from Central Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app, 105.5 WIRI, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI. It's time for this hour's keyword to text in our Go for the Green and Gold multi-state text to win contest on 105.5 WIRI.
Hello and welcome to Laura's Lounge on 105.5 FM WIRI. My name is Laura and I'm happy to be here with you on this Wednesday. I know you just want to hear the word, don't you? That word is gift, G-I-F-T. Open up your Civic Media apps, tune into 105.5 FM WIRI, for instance, and text in the word gift for your chance to win all of the fabulous prizes in Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win Multi-State Contest. The prizes are a daily chance to win a piece of gold jewelry and $200 cash. Plus, every entry puts you into the grand prize drawing for a pair of indoor club-level tickets to the Green Bay versus Minnesota game.